Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, it is superhero night at Hot Winter Nights. Can I get a shout out for all the DC comic fans? Oh, Shem. Can you make some noise for all the Marvel comic fans? Okay, can I get a shout out for anybody who loves Thor tonight? Yeah, there's all the ladies and one guy. Or the Captain Marvel fans? What about the Captain America fans? The Iron Man fans? Have you ever wondered why there are no Indian superheroes? I think Marvel is dropping the ball. There's not adequate representation for the Indian community. If I were to create an Indian superhero, I would call him Captain Vindaloo. Because no enemies are going to be able to take the heat that he brings. His ultimate weakness, Gavascon. His arch nemesis, his mother-in-law's cooking. We all love superheroes, don't we? We love what they represent. We love that superheroes represent strength and passion and virtue and an ability to keep on going no matter what's going on. Superheroes represent a desire to accomplish something greater than themselves. We love superheroes. All of us have dreamed of being a superhero at one stage, haven't we? For me, it's Thor. I want to be like Thor. I know that my body is very close to what he would have, but just the majestic hair and everything. I've always wanted to have that kind of a superpower. Anybody ever want to be a superhero before? We dream about it, but we also have people in our world that we view as superheroes. Ordinary people who seem to do extraordinary things. Maybe your mom is your superhero, or your dad, or an uncle, or a grandparent, or some authority figure who's made a wonderful impact in your life. We just absolutely love superheroes because they appeal to something within us that wants to be that superhero. I think it was perfectly portrayed in Spider-Man 2 when Aunt May said this. She said, "Everybody loves a hero. People line up for them, they cheer for them, scream their names, and years later, they'll tell how they stood in the rain for hours just to get a glimpse of the one who taught them how to hold on a second longer. I believe there's a hero in all of us that keeps us honest, gives us strength, makes us noble, and finally allows us to die with pride, even though sometimes we have to be steady and give up the thing we want the most, even our dreams." There's a hero in all of us. And the world is looking for that hero to be revealed. Have a look at what it says in Zechariah chapter 10. "They will be mighty warriors of God, grinding their enemies' faces in the dust beneath their feet." Man, I just love this verse. It says, "The Lord is with them as they fight, and their enemy is doomed." That's what God has for you and me. This is what he wants us to be. The kind of superhero that steps out into the world, says, "I don't care what's facing me. I don't care what enemies come against me. I'm going to grind their face into the ground because the Lord is with me." The Lord is with us to become the superheroes that he knows we can become. Because our wives are looking for a superhero. Our husbands are looking for a superhero. Our children, our families, our communities, our colleagues, our friends, our peers at school. Everybody is looking for a superhero. The question is, will you become the superhero? The title of the message this evening is Becoming the Hero God Put in You. Becoming the hero God put in you. Now, the problem with becoming a superhero is the process that the hero has to go through in order to become a superhero. If anybody ever looks at a very basic outline of every single superhero movie script that was ever written, you can summarize it in a few simple points. So if you're writing a script for a superhero movie, you can use this as an outline. Just remember to give me royalties when it hits the box office. Every hero goes through the same process. Pain encountered, power discovered, identity recovered, purpose uncovered, heroes outnumbered, the unlikely one surrendered, then finally the end game unconquered. pain encountered. We know that Peter Parker loses Uncle Ben. Thor was stripped of his honor. Steve Rogers was weak and disheveled. Clark Kent began as an orphan. And Prince T'Challa loses his father. Every superhero story starts with incredible pain that throws them into confusion, causes them to wonder, who am I? What am I here for? Where's my life going to end up? But shortly afterwards, they find that their power is discovered. Peter Parker is bitten by the radioactive spider that gives him his superpowers. Steve Rogers gets the serum that gives him superhuman strength. Thor gets his hammer back in the beautiful moment where all the thunder and lightning comes. Tony Stark develops the Iron Man suit. The superhero powers are finally encountered or discovered. And as soon as that happens, their identity is recovered. Because they know that they weren't the weak person that they were before. They know that things are looking different now. They can't continue in the same way. They've got a new identity. And once they have their identity set, well, then their purpose is uncovered. Because once they're done trying to figure out how to shoot webs out of their wrists and how to work their powers, they realize that I can't just live for myself anymore. There's something greater. People have a need for a superhero. So there's a purpose that's demanded of my life because I know who I am. I've got to make sure I don't just live for myself, but I serve and help others. And as the movie progresses, there's a moment where there's a massive battle and the heroes are completely outnumbered and it seems so unlikely that the hero is going to make it through. What are they going to do? How's the day going to be saved? And when it's needed the most unlikely person decides to sacrifice themselves for the sake of others. We saw it recently in the movie Endgame. If you haven't seen the movie, I won't give a spoiler, but you will cry like a little girl when it happens. We saw it in X-Men 2 when Jean Grey gave up her life. Loki in Thor Dark World decided to make a great sacrifice. Groot, poor Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy. We are Groot. Captain America in the first Avenger, the one that you least expect to make the ultimate sacrifice, steps in. And because they do that, the end game is unbroken and it is unconquered because of that sacrifice. It's a formula for the movies that's very familiar to us in film, but it's more familiar to us because it actually comes from the Bible. The Bible is the original Avengers assembled. And when you look at the heroes of the faith, they've gone through exactly the same process. If you think about Gideon, we read about him in the book of Judges. Gideon starts out, the Israelites were being completely oppressed by the Midianites. He's in a small place, but then the angel appears to him and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So he discovers that he has got power. He realizes he's got a new identity because of that power, and the purpose for his life flows out of that. And even though he was completely outnumbered, 135,000 against 300, he decides to throw himself in there. He was willing to sacrifice his purpose, sacrifice his future for the sake of God. And they remain unconquered. We see it in the life of Jephthah as well. He starts off as a son of a prostitute, rejected by his people, kicked out. But then he realizes that he's got the power of leadership and influence. And he rallies people around him. He gets a new identity because of it. And he realizes that his purpose is to serve the nation of Israel. So he's so willing to throw himself in there. And even when it seems completely unlikely that he would succeed, he throws himself into the mix. And they are unconquered because of it. We see it in the life of Esther as well. Again, the Israelites, the Jews, were being oppressed. They were about to be wiped out. But she realizes that she has the power of influence because she's the wife of the king. And she's so willing to use her purpose to influence. And so she's willing to sacrifice her life to ask a bold question. But because of it, they remain unconquered. You know, whenever we look at superheroes in the Bible, they've gone through the same process. And I've just mentioned a few, but we see this in Abraham, in Noah, Joseph, David, Nehemiah, Daniel, the disciples, Jesus. Every single one of them went through it, and so will you and me. If we want to become the superheroes that God has put inside of us, we're going to face pain. You're going to get bullied at school. You're going to get persecuted at work. Your husband or wife may make a silly decision. Maybe they may betray your trust. Pain will be encountered. You're going to get a negative doctor's report. Something's going to go wrong. You're going to lose a very close loved one. Somebody's going to betray you. In the end, we will encounter pain. It is inevitable. But once we encounter pain, it's the perfect opportunity for God to reveal to us the power that he's given to us. In fact, Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. There's a power inside of us that we need to realize. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. So we already have what it takes because of Jesus Christ and his power in us to become the superhero that the world is desperately waiting to be revealed. But once we discover his power, or our power, we get a new identity. We realize that life is not the same anymore. We are made new. We don't have to live in the old ways. And so we don't have to hide in the shadows of the past or the burden of failure and mistake. We are made new. And once we know who we are, there's new purpose to serve the world around us. That even when we do get absolutely outnumbered, the most least likely one, Jesus Christ, threw himself into the mix for us to get saved. And now we will always be unconquered because of it. Every superhero goes through this process, and so will we. But the common denominator, in fact, if you look at all superheroes, they seem to all live by a certain code, by a few decisions that were made, a few places of understanding when they know this is how a superhero belongs. And I'd like to share with you today a few points of how a superhero lives. Is that okay? Yeah. Is there still life in the hearse tonight? Yeah. Fantastic. Point number one. Is everyone ready? Yeah. Point number one. For superheroes, their pain is their springboard, not their billboard. Every single superhero faces pain. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Pain is a part of life. It is absolutely inevitable. But misery is optional. There's a great book in the Resource Center to pick up on that one. Pain is inevitable. Husbands and wives, they have affairs. We get attacked, we get persecuted, we get torn down. Pain is absolutely inevitable. It's part of life. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12 says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. No, pain is simply a part of life. Question is, will it be a springboard or a billboard? When I was growing up, I did gymnastics, and I did pretty well. My brother and I were gymnasts for a little while. This is a photo of us that was taken. It's made to look super, super old, but it's, you know, about 21 years ago. Can you guess which one is me? That was me. My brother's also in this photo. His name's Simon, poor old Cy, but in this photo, I call him Franken-Cy. Oh, shim. In gymnastics, there's something that you use called a springboard. Now, a springboard enables you to jump higher and to jump further, gives you more vault into the air so that you can do things that you wouldn't have accomplished by just jumping on your own. So you'll be running at full pace, and the harder you hit the springboard, the higher you will go. We need to make sure that we use our pain like a springboard. And the harder we get hit by pain and the harder we're going to hit back with pain, the higher we will go. Yet so many people instead... So many people instead, they use their pain like a billboard. Look at all the problems I've got, everyone. I've got so much pain. These are my issues. This is everything that's gone wrong in my life. It's been such a terrible week. It's been so dreadful. Lord, oh, please just feel sorry for me, somebody, because life is just so terrible. My husband is a dog. He walked out again. My children are a mess. This is everything that I'm going through. We use our pain as a billboard because we try to get people to feel sorry for us. We like the attention. We like the way that people mollycoddle us when they know what our pain is. The problem with a billboard, though, is that it becomes peripheral to our vision after you've seen it one time. And the same is true when all we ever do is advertise our pain. People hear it once the first time, but afterwards it becomes old news and people get very tired of hearing it. In fact, the very thing that we seek to get from trying to advertise our pain is completely negated because people actually simply don't care. We shouldn't use our pain as a billboard to try to tell absolutely everyone all of our issues. No, we should quietly use it as a springboard to jump further and to go higher and to develop ourselves, to overcome ourselves and to conquer ourselves, because in the end, the battle is always with ourselves. I'm not saying don't share with anybody what you're going through. We need people that we can share things with in confidence. We need people that we can hold ourselves accountable to. But our pain shouldn't be a billboard that we share with the whole world. And if you want your pain to be a springboard, you better ask yourself a few questions. ask, why am I here? Like, why am I in this position? Why am I experiencing this pain? Is it because of me? Is it because of the decisions that I made? Have I brought myself to this point? Well, what am I going to do not to get here again? What am I going to do? How can I eat differently? How can I exercise so I don't have the same health issues? How can I approach relationships differently so I'm not getting abused by people around me anymore? Well, what can I do differently in my work with my finances so I don't find myself being absolutely broke again after I got a massive financial breakthrough? We got to ask ourselves certain questions. What are people consistently telling me that maybe I should start listening to? Ask yourselves questions about your pain so that your pain becomes a springboard and not a billboard. Superheroes know that pain will keep them in one place. And the problem with being in one place means that you're a sitting duck. And sitting ducks always get shot. They're the easiest targets. And the same is true for us. If we stay in one place of pain, we're a sitting target and we will be taken out. Superheroes use their pain as a springboard, not as a billboard. Point number two. Everyone doing okay? Yeah. Point number two, superheroes have settled that their life is not their own. They've settled that their life is not their own. Nick Fury is the character that gets the Avengers together. He creates the Avengers organization or the Avengers collective. And he said in the first Avengers movie, there was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they could become something more, to see if they could work together when we needed them to fight the battles that we never could. Superheroes understand that life is not about them. Their life is not their own. They're assembled not when it's convenient, not when they've got the time, not when it feels good, not when they don't have anything else on. No, exactly when there is a need, that is when they will show up, and that's when we can count on them because they're not living for themselves. We, like the Avengers, are a group of remarkable people, but we can only be effective if we're willing to live for something greater than ourselves and just settle the matter. The problem is that we're so worried about serving ourselves and serving our needs. That's why marriages fall apart, because people only focus on themselves. That's why marriage or families are broken, because people only worry about themselves. What can I get? What do I need? What's comfortable for me? We need to set that life is not about me. God did not put us on this glorious earth to build our own kingdom, but to build His kingdom. And the only way that we can build His kingdom is through other people and through the church. We are called to be here for one another. Your children are looking for a superhero in you. Your wife, your husband, your colleagues, they're looking for a superhero in you, but they will never find it if all they can see is you serving yourself. They'll only encounter the superhero once they see the superhero laying down their life. Your body is waiting for you to make the right decisions. Your finances are waiting for you to make the right decisions. And the most arrogant superheroes in all of the movies, they all get to a point where they have to realize, I can't carry on serving my own purpose and desires. I need to put other people first. It's time to settle that our life is not our own. Point number three, for superheroes, their identity is rooted, not polluted. Identity is rooted, not polluted. Something that goes hand in hand with superheroes is a secret identity. So Superman is known as Clark Kent. Spider-Man is Peter Parker. The Green Lantern is, if you diehard fans, he's Hal Jordan. Captain Marvel is Carol. Yeah, there's a guy who said that. So there's a big fan over there. Did you? Who said it? You. Are you dating anyone? Married? Thank heavens, because they'd have a problem. You know, if mom sees you bring home a blonde girl, then... Superheroes seem to find a need to have a secret identity. And maybe they want to be able to put aside the superhero so they can just live a normal life. Maybe they want to turn off the powers just so they can feel what it seems to be normal and not have people flocking to them all the time. We often feel the same. You know, when we've been given a brand new identity in Christ, sometimes we feel too afraid for people to know what that identity is. Maybe we've grown up with a particular religion in our homes and now to be made a new being in Christ, to tell our family, listen, I'm a Christian now, we worried about what people are going to say. We worried about what people will think if we tell them, this is the decision I've made to follow Jesus. We can get very afraid in the process, and so we form this double identity. when we come to church over the weekends, I am super Christian and everything is wonderful. But when I head back to work, well, I'm a little bit like the evil villain again because it deserves me to have two identities. What I love about the most recent superhero movies is that they haven't really worried too much about the whole secret identity thing because in the end, it doesn't actually make a difference. You know, sometimes we're polluted by, our identity is polluted by old habits and old ways. We just so enjoy the things that our old life offers us that we just find it very convenient to, again, come to church being super Christian on a Sunday, but then, you know, during the week, I still go online and I still check out a few of those websites and I still go to the casino because it's just a great jol, and I go drinking with my buddies because, well, I can't say no to them. They need a good influence in their life as well, you know. We seem to live this double identity, but as long as we're entertaining a double identity, we're only living half a life. As long as we're entertaining two different identities, we will never be effective. Can you imagine how many more people Superman could have saved if he didn't have to run into a telephone booth to change every time? Think about every other person that Spider-Man could help if he wasn't so worried about having to change his costume. Superheroes are not effective if they're having to straddle two different identities. It just doesn't work. Luke chapter 18, verse 16 says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under the bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light." We're called to live out this new identity brightly for everyone to see because we know what our identity is, and our identity is rooted in who God says we are, what He says about us, what He wants for our lives, what He wants for our futures. You know what also kills our identity, what pollutes our identity is comparison. Can you just imagine watching the Avengers and there's a cutaway scene and we see the Incredible Hulk trying to squeeze into Captain America's spandex pants because he wants to be the leader and he thinks that he wants to live his life like Captain America. It would be absolutely ridiculous if we have a scene where we see Black Widow just fawning over Captain Marvel's lovely blonde hair, and I wish I could have their hair like she has. No, it's absolutely ridiculous to think about that. Every single superhero knows exactly what their power is, and because they know what their power is, they can function in that power and not have to worry about being like Thor or being like Black Panther or being like somebody else. They can be effective because they know who they are. The same is true for you and me. God has given each single one of us a superhero in some form. Maybe it's hospitality, maybe it's love, maybe it's kindness, maybe it's leadership, maybe it's serving, maybe it's preaching. Whatever it might be, God has given each of us a superpower, yet we get so caught up thinking, well, I need to be fun like she is. I need to be able to preach like him. I need to be able to do what she does or do what he does because that's the only way I'm going to be effective. No. No, it would be ridiculous if one of the superheroes had thought in battle, well, I'm going to make sure that I fight like Iron Man. Well, they're going to get taken out. We get taken out by our insistence to try to be a cheap knockoff of somebody else. We spend so much time trying to be a replica of somebody else, but all we will ever be is a cheap knockoff. Many factories have tried to manufacture a different kind of Superman, but they ended up with Special Man instead. That inspires no one. Have you ever heard of Super Bat? Or maybe you've been a fan of the Power Rangers. There's something odd with this picture. Somebody once tried to knock off the Avengers and they created the Sense of Right Alliance, here to save the day. Why is Shrek in this? Somebody was obviously inspired by the Transformers, but copyright law forced him to create the Transmogrifiers instead. You know, it's so easy for us to get wrapped up in trying to be someone else or like someone else. We pollute our identity by this desire to try be what we are not. We should certainly be aspirational. View the qualities and the virtues in somebody else and seek to develop them in our own lives. But you need to be your own man, be your own woman, be your own superhero because you're wasting time if you're trying to be like someone else. Point number four. Is everyone still alive? Yes. Superheroes know their weaknesses. They know their weaknesses. Part of knowing who you are means knowing what your weaknesses are. every superhero who's got a supreme weakness will do everything that they can do to get away from that weakness. So whenever Superman encounters kryptonite, he knows he's got to get away from there as quickly as possible, because whenever kryptonite is present, Superman is just a man. He's not super anymore. And when he's standing in the face of kryptonite, it doesn't matter how many baddies he's killed, doesn't matter how many bullets he's dodged, how many bullets he's taken, all those things count for nothing. When his weakness is present, he had better get out of there, otherwise it is the end of the day. Now, wouldn't it be ridiculous if you saw Superman walking down the road with a kryptonite necklace around his neck, or a kryptonite ring on his finger, or kryptonite bracelet on his arm? You might say to him, Superman, what are you doing? You're wearing kryptonite. No, it's fine. I know what I'm doing. It's going to be okay. But Superman, it's going to make you weak. Yeah, but the color green, it's just such a nice color. Don't you think the color is so wonderful? Yeah, but Superman, you can die because of this stuff. No, I know, but it's just so pretty. I've got to hold on to it. No, but Superman, it's making you vulnerable. Hey, I can do with my life whatever I want to do with my life, okay? But Superman, there are people who are counting on you. Well, I deserve to be happy, don't I? Don't we do the same? When we encounter the greatest weaknesses in our lives, girl, he just beat you. Why are you going back to him? Well, when he bats his eyes and he calls me his darling, I just can't say no. Dude, why are you going to go to a restaurant in a casino? You've got a gambling problem. Well, the family wanted to go, and I just couldn't say no. Dude, you're still at the same job with the woman that you've just had an affair with. She's married. You're married. Why haven't you found another job? Well, the market is difficult, you know. No, when we know that we've got a weakness, we better run far away from that weakness as far as we can get. Yet instead, we wear our weaknesses like a piece of jewelry as if it gives us some sort of beauty. No, we got to be willing to let that thing go. Proverbs 3 verse 23 says, "A prudent and far-sighted person sees the evil of sin and hides himself from it. But the naive continue on and are punished by suffering the consequences of sin." Point number 5, their purpose serves God's principles. Superheroes always know that they're going to serve something greater than themselves. There's a greater purpose. There's a greater call. There's something about God's principles that will dictate the way that they behave. This isn't just about serving other people. This is about serving God and making sure that his principles govern our lives, even if it makes us radically unpopular. The world is going in a direction that believes one thing, that says one thing, that does one thing. But the truth is, we don't live according to the world. We live according to the Word. We don't live according to that standard. We live according to His standard. And we live according to His principles, even if it makes us unpopular. Captain America's love interest was a woman named Peggy Carter. And it's quoted of her that she said, "Even if the whole world is telling you to move, it is your duty to plant yourself like a tree, look them in the eye, and say, 'No, you move.'" When the world is coming to us saying, "No, abandon your principles of God, abandon your faith, make compromises on what you believe," we stand there saying, "No, you move, because I'm staying right where I am. This is where God has called me to be." Perhaps that's why Psalm 92 says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of God. If we are planted, we will flourish. But if we keep uprooting ourselves every time somebody tells us to move, eventually we will die. This is where sacrifice comes in. Marriages are not seeing breakthroughs because they're not living according to God's principles. Finances are not thriving because people aren't living according to God's principles. Relationships aren't getting better because people aren't living according to God's principles. But if you do live according to them, our lives take on a whole new dimension, and we are empowered to be the tool that God wants us to be. Point number 6. Superheroes always show up no matter what's going down. The one thing that we know about superheroes is that they will always be there. They always show up. Doesn't matter how bad things are, doesn't matter how crazy things are getting, superheroes always, always, always show up. You know, we face many pastoral challenges in the church. Marriages that are on the rocks, health issues, problems with finances, whatever it might be. The ones who pull through are the ones who show up for the battle. I love what Thor said in the movie Ragnarok. He said, I choose to run towards my problems and not away from them because that's what heroes do. Although shortly after that, he took a massive soccer ball to the face. Now, this isn't contrary to Proverbs chapter 3 that we read earlier, because Proverbs 3 says you run away from sin. This is saying, no, you run into your problems. You don't hide from them. You don't try to escape them. You don't dodge them. You make sure you face your challenges head on. No matter what's going on, you show up. No matter how tired you are, no matter how weak you are, no matter how exhausted you might be, no matter how much you have failed, no matter how defeated you are, no matter how broken you are, you simply show up. You show up for your family. You show up for your kids. You show up for your colleagues, you show up for your friends, you show up when there's a need, you show up when somebody's broken, you show up for the lost, you show up for that job interview, you show up for that doctor's report. You simply show up because that is what superheroes do. And we don't necessarily show up because we're afraid of what's going to face us, but you also don't know who's also going to show up the moment you show up. There's a moment in 2 Kings chapter 6 where Elisha and Gehazi are surrounded by enemies. The Aramean army has come to attack them, but they showed up, and this is what happens. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, opened his eyes, Lord, that he might see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Because they show up, God also showed up. And whenever God shows up, the battle is ours. The end game is unconquered, but we need to show up first. So what have you been running away from? What have you been dodging? You need to show up. And when you do, God will show up too. And then finally, superheroes unite to fight. They unite to fight. The final scene of Endgame is probably the most powerful cinematic experience that audiences have watched so far in a superhero movie. If you haven't seen the movie, well, the spoilers are out now, so there's no excuse. In the final scene of that movie, we see a handful of the Avengers standing there. Captain America in particular, trying to face down Thanos and the massive army that he's brought with him. And he seems completely outnumbered. But in that moment, we see every other single superhero coming onto the scene with armies and armies and armies of people, and all of them unite, different tribes, different races, different languages, different people with different backgrounds and different sources of strength, but every single one of them has showed up to fight the same fight together. And that's exactly what we as Christians are called to do. Ephesians 4 says, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit. It goes on to say, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. We are called to fight together, church, not to fight each other in church. We're called to fight each other with each other in unity. And I don't know what relationships have deteriorated for you. I don't know what gossip has been said. I don't know what messages have been tweeted and voice notes that are going around. But you need to make sure that you build those bridges with those people so we can unite to fight. Because if we aren't united, we will be defeated. We need to do this journey together. King T'Challa in the Black Panther says, in moments of crisis, the wise build bridges, while the foolish build barriers. We must find a way to look after one another as if we were one single tribe. We spend so much time driving knives into others' backs. So much time picking out each other's flaws and faults and mistakes. So much time pointing out the plank or the speck in someone else's eye while neglecting the plank in our own. No, we are called to build, to fight, to stand together, because that's what superheroes do. And is that not just a picture of the church? All of us, different ages, different races, different backgrounds, different powers, different hurts, different measures of brokenness, all coming together to fight the same battle for the cause of Christ so the world can be helped around us. Somebody who understood this better than anyone else was probably Professor Xavier from the X-Men. The X-Men were mutants, rejects, hated. People didn't like them because they were afraid of them. Yet Professor X was able to rally them all together around one purpose, even to help the people who would spurn them and reject them and kick them aside. the X-Men were a powerful force of strength and goodness in this world. Professor X said this, just because someone stumbles and loses their path, it doesn't mean that they're lost forever.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.